yeah, yeah.
That's not clear. Like nice voice, right? Which is that divorce.
Who was the developer who did this?
It was a
local person?
No.
No, it wasn't. Oh, I see. Okay.
They went broke.
Oh. Okay.
They went broke?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Oyster Bay was a local person, I think, right? But,
you know, could have been.
Yeah, but I guess not here. All right. Okay.
Rockland Development.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is called.
So they went broke, and then somebody else had to take it over?
Well,
or,
they sold a lot here.
Hmm, yeah.
Well, where my lot is, the wide one is the street there.
Yes.
On this side, where the ghetto is, they call it.
The Tigers were here, and the Cumhairs were over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my uncle owned all that land over there.
Yeah.
He sold it. Yep. To Ross and Fetchman, $10,000. That was the old that street there up.
Yeah.
I'll see Dave, you afterwards.
Yeah, Jimmy Adams is here and dug the canals in there.
I was asking him about the development here, which I hope is not the subject of your interview.
No.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm the note taker. Okay.
Now your gizmo, let's see. Are we using two gizmos or just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's use it here.
So let's do that.
There's the other gizmo.
Okay.
There's that gizmo. We're doing double gizmos. Double things. So that...
Double gizmos.
Okay. Okay.
So that if one doesn't get it, the other should.
Okay. So we're all set. You can just ignore those.
Yeah. You just press the button.
Yeah, well, I had to go to college to learn.
Okay. Glasses. This. And papers. Don't want to forget that. This interview is with Harold Quillen on December 4, 2012. We are in Mr. Quillen's lovely home in Richardson Landing. The interviewer is Margaret Papadopoulos, representing the Chincoteague Island Library Oral History Project. Chincoteague is a unique island with great natural beauty and people with strong character. We would like to learn more about your life here on Chincoteague. Were you born on Chincoteague?
No, ma'am.
Where were you born?
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia?
My father from here. My mother from Philadelphia. And my father got killed when I was about 5 years old, not about 4 years old, going to work. And I come down here, from then down here to my aunt. She was right there, and they raised me from 4 years old on. Been here, I was raised me 20 years.
And when were you born?
1927, May 7th.
May 7th. Did you go to school here on Chincoteague?
Yes, ma'am.
And where was your school?
School was located right down there, right now on Church Street. The first school, the first one I went to was the wooden school, which had the big bell into it and all, and that's gone. And, the first one was the first grade. It was a little wood building on the side of the brick building. Just first graders went there. Then you advanced there, you went to the wooden building. And you go there up to four, if you went to, then you go to the brick building. Then you go there and go to grammar grade, then you go to high school. But high school consists of 4 years and days.
And you lived right here in this area?
Right here.
And how did you get to school?
We had one bus. He covered the whole island. And I had to walk from where I lived up here down to the Howard Merch store at the time. It's the oldest place, you probably know where it's at. That's where the bus picked everybody up there. That went on for several years. And then a little later on, it got so, they come up to turntable to pick up. I was just next door neighbor there. They had two children. So he picked up three of us there.
And do you remember your teacher's name?
My first teacher. Yes, I know her. Hickman. It was just Hickman. Yeah, Tommy Phillips. He was principal and teacher. I had Nelson Jester. He was principal and teacher. Red Nelson's father.
Oh, okay.
He was principal then. Christine Coughlin. She was typing, shorthand teacher. And let's see, Beulah Powell. Yeah, that's what I had.
How many students were in your class?
I think when we graduated from, we had two graduations, from seventh to go to high school. Then high school, we had graduation. I think it was 30-some in seventh grade. But when we graduated out of high school, it went back 30-some. It's only four boys. No, something more wrong. Six boys, and all stayed at two. Me and them and Murray, it's not two living. And the girls are all gone, sure well, too.
After school and in summers, did you do a lot of activities with friends at school?
At
or
school?
Around here?
Right here. But no, school quit, that was it. He's glad to get home. Now, we never had no basketball in them days, or football, like they got now. A basketball court was two posts sticking up there with a clay bottom outside. That's what you played on. And we did have a baseball team. And they would go from Hancock, and they had one to Tempersville, Akamai, Chinstig. All of them schools had a team. And then once a year, we would go to have the whole county would have a meet at a Keller Fair. All the schools competing, running, jumping, broad jumping, and all that stuff, you know. So I think we had a record. It was four in our class. Went me, Newman Murray, Newman Daisy, and Googie Mears. We're all in high school with 85-pound. 85-pound class. With four of us. I said, it's a record.
In the summer, what type of activities did you do?
Mostly, if you weren't climbing or swimming in the water.
We're right around here?
Well, you can most time go down that on that side.
On the bay side?
Yeah, there's a lot of sand over that way. There's a lot of mud over here. We always went that way. And we go climbing. Just soon we got old enough for a rake, we go make a spending change. And we had a guy would take us in the boat. Takes up the Merlin line, and he tow us up. We had a boat of our own. He tow us up 10 cents, take us up, make us back, and we spend the night sometimes. And we had no cabin, so we'd sleep under a canvas, and no stove. You got to take what you had to eat. You had the cantaloupes, tender snaps, all that stuff, you know, for that one day.
Did you do any hunting?
Hunting.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. When I got older, I did, yeah. As soon as I could hold up a gun. Yeah.
There have been a lot of deer around here in the last few years.
There was no deer here at all.
No hit, none when you were growing up?
None at all. No. My first deer, I saw jumped over this fence here when I was middle in the size here. First deer I saw. And I was in that woods all my life.
I never saw
a deer. They're on the beach, but they're over here.
But in the last few years, we've had a lot of deer here.
Yeah.
I remember that you had an apple tree.
Yeah, I had apple
trees. That had a lot of deer coming to it.
Yeah, apple trees, peach trees.
And I've also heard a story about how you sort of got rid of the deer. Can you tell me that?
Well, I baited that well, I'd have to bait it because it came after apples. So I took the screen out and went to there. And as soon as it got dark, I sat back there and wait for him. Oh boy, here come there. Well, I shot him. I got him. I was just, my God, how look at my curtains. Powder burns all over my curtains. No more deer shooting back here. And I killed one, I thought it was a bedroom, and I had apple tree over here too. I killed this 12-point buck. Right around that tree that I was going to. The city tore trees up too.
I know that in the Oyster Museum, there are a couple of tusks. Mm-hmm. What are they, and where did you get them?
Well, see, when I, later years, when I was married, I worked on the fish stock. I'm part of St. Take Inn, you know, fish stock. And the drivers brought them in.
What were they, tusks?
Yeah, of walrus. It's probably 2,000 year old. I sent one to Smithsonian Institute and put one over here. I had two of them. And that's how I find out the age of them and all. I knew what they were.
When did you get involved with the Chincoteague Inn?
I wasn't doing too well raising chickens. It was sort of on a dime size, you know, then. So I started working down there with this man who owned it. He's packing fish. And I worked there probably a year. And he come to me one day and says, Harold, he's like, you're a pretty steady worker and pretty level-headed. He says, I like to sell you half this business and I'm going to give my son the other half. If work, you know, work with it because I want to get out, getting old. I said, it's all right with me. So we started. And then it lasted too long. So his son wouldn't work. He wasn't no good. He didn't appreciate it. So he says, I don't know. He says, you want to buy it yourself? I said, I don't think I could handle it. So I went and got Roland Harden. He did now. I said, Roland, do you want to go into business and we buy this place? I says, he'll finance some, the bank will finance some, and we'll start out. That's the way it is.
When was that?
Gosh, I don't know how many years ago. I worked there, I guess in the 50s, I don't know, really.
When the Ash Wednesday storm came through, what did that do to the Chincoteague Inn and to you personally?
Well, it didn't hurt the end. It got a lot of water got into it, you know. Mm-hmm. The water went way up to the cash register. The cash register was on a bar. Mm-hmm. I was home. Yeah.
Did you have any problem at your home?
Yeah, we had to come evacuate us. I got one of my army ducks and come pick them in my wife and two children up. They were standing there and watched the cars float right by us. I had a little nice Rambler I just bought from the Rambler down here when it had place in town. All my luck is going down the road, bouncing.
Where did you meet your wife?
Downtown here. She's from Clark Street.
And you've lived here for your entire married life?
Yeah, we've been about 65 years.
And children and grandchildren?
I've got great children, great grandchildren, great great grandchildren. I've got two daughters myself. And Beverly's got Valerie, and she's got two. The other's over there across the bay, Jennifer. Well, she's got, she married a guy in the Coast Guard. And I got my other daughter, she lives in Delaware, Laurel, Delaware. She had two children, two girls. Well, one of them had four children, three boys and a girl. And this is a sad story up there. She's on dope, been overweight. And my daughter had to take four children and raise them, plus her. She won't let her go. But I would have, what she's been through with her. And she just won't get no better. And from that on, from the other daughter, she had two daughters. The other daughter had a son and a daughter, and say she had children, so that was great, great, great children, grandchildren.
But some of them do live here on the island with you.
Who?
Some of your daughters.
Beverly.
Yeah,
Beverly's little daughter. Yes. I had two daughters.
Yes.
She married a guy from Chincoteague, so, and they left here. He got a job in DuPont, and had a good job. And they moved out, went to Delaware, and never really come back. He worked there for, some years. When they come downsize, he's one of the first ones to go. He was a supervisor, made good money. And they were in debt, they were in debt head over heels. And he wouldn't quit. He would not quit. They downgraded him, downgraded, right to the bottom. So him and six or seven more of them got together and sued DuPont for laying him off and hire somebody in his place for less money. You know, something like that. It went on about 3 years, and all of them dropped out, too. Steve hung right with him, he got it. And he had to do, couldn't get a lawyer in Delaware. Wasn't a lawyer touched DuPont. He had to go to Philadelphia, a lawyer.
Well, you said that you had started with chickens. When did you do that, and where?
I got chickens for married chicken, for married her. I was raising chickens during the end of the war. I could chance to go into service or get released from being a farmer, you know. So I took that and started raising chickens. Of course, the war was about over anyway then at that time. Anyway, I raised chickens for, I think 14 years. I think I told you before, I had 14,000 out here in this field here. Did I tell you that?
No.
See, a pole sticking out there, that's separated the houses, that's where electric went in. It's still down there.
So when that started going down, that's when you starting with the sheep seed. Yeah.
First got into it, you could make some money. But later on, chickens got some cheap, so many diseases. So services house, and you got to get some money. We're taking eggs down the store, trading them off for meat. I owed $180-some grocery bill down to the store. I mean, that's a lot of money in them days. They said, well, how long are you pay when you get it? And I said, well, I did.
I would like to ask you about your life with your family here on Chincoteague. Was there anything your whole family liked to do together?
Well, my family, we had barbecues and stuff like that, you know. And we have been off on a couple of trips up in Pennsylvania with the family. Yeah, that side of that, that's about it.
Did you have any specific chores that your mother wanted you to do?
Me? My aunt? No, well, not really. It wasn't no trash stamp in them days. They'd take it and push it to Glade.
You had said something about going for eggs.
Oh, we used to have chickens, see. See, when we lived over the woods there, Smucker's Cove, that's all changed now. Well, no, Walkett, where we lived. And we had goats, chickens, geese, ducks, cows, and the farm. Yeah.
Did you have electricity and refrigeration and everything?
Not when I first got married. And we didn't have, I think I told you, but when we first got married, Elk Merritt had built a house, a little bungalow, and it way down on the marsh. But now he had it down there to watch his clams. He's planting clams on that side down there. Well, that 33 storm come, it washed it up on the high land. That's where it stayed. So that's where the chicken house was built, from that one down. There's another chicken house down that way, 10,000 chickens there. And after that, it's going blank.
So when did you have the 14,000 across the...
I had it for several years. Yeah.
But that was after you had moved from the Smuggler's Cove area, or what?
I was living down on Main Street. Second house I ever built, that house there. Home built this one. Mm-hmm. That's where I was living then.
The food that you ate when you were growing up, you had your animals.
Yeah.
What about vegetables and dairy products?
Yeah, well, we had a nice garden. My aunt would do up string beans, and she would do lima beans, tomatoes, and we'd get potatoes and put them under the house, keep them cool, and that's what we eat most all the time. And well, everybody up here had hogs. And we, it's an actual thing, it's a hog killing, it's a great big thing. Everybody in the neighborhood had hogs, and they took special time. They'd go to your house one day, kill your hogs. The women come, they dress the meat and make some sausage and stuff. Men get drunk. You have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and build a fire, find this big pot, get the water boiling. Then they had a barrel and it's dug the hole and slammed it down like that. To pour the water after it gets boiling. Then when you shot the pig, you had to put him in there, push him up down, scald him. Then you had to scrape him, scrape the hide off of him, the hair. And we at all, we never was hungry. We had plenty to eat, plenty to eat. Everybody up here had plenty to eat, even if I had no money, but they had plenty to eat. So we had our own hams. We had a smokehouse, right, smoked hams, and there was sausage. We hanged them right up there. And I think you want to eat, bacon. And we had our own chickens, ducks, turkeys. We had 2 or 3 turkeys for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Never had many of them, but we had 3 or 4. Scoby ducks. Don't see many of them anymore.
Did you have any special traditions for Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Well, we always went to somebody's fat one of the family to eat. My aunt, when I was growing up, she'd have it at her house, but she'd have me and Shirley and the 2 children, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And as she got older, then we took it over. We have Thanksgiving there. My daughter does too, the one. I've been cooking turkey for, I think, the last 20 years. I always get a turkey. I done it again this year.
Great.
I said, well, the first year I didn't have to pay for a turkey. At least I got to cook it. And I do oysters. I fry the oysters. I got oysters there and I just opened them yesterday. Get ready for Christmas. Freeze them.
Great.
Man got me some yesterday, and I opened them up. And I'm going to bread them up and put them in the freezer. So I told Beverly, I said, we got oysters for Christmas now. Well, job getting Thanksgiving. Tides are so high, people can't cook it at work. You know, about 2 weeks ago, tides are all over the land. I did finally find a point.
Shinkatig is known for its pony penny. Were you involved in that at all?
No, just go down and watch it. That's all. Yeah. My aunt used to go down there. She worked with the ladies auxiliary. She could go down and cook. They served a big dinner there, pony penny day, and they had a big building on the outside there, chicken and dumplings raise money. But I never really eat there. We just went down there and played with slot machines and stuff like that for a head.
Where were the slot machines?
Sitting right out. Yeah. Well, I was growing up, there were slot machines every time. I used to go down there and play pennies, nickels, dimes. Remember the theater is now, where the mall is. That was theater then. So on both sides, that was, there was 2 buildings. Yeah, one of them was peanuts, and Tutti Frutti, come Odell's Tutti Frutti, and little stuff like that. Then he had a little partition out, he had 3 slot machines there. We could go play the slot machines, not doing that.
Shinkatig has really changed over the years.
Good golly day. You think so, look around here. You want a house up this way nowhere. In fact, we're the last house up there where I was living, it was the last house up. See, we even had a road when I first come here. the road stopped down there at my uncle's. We had a shell road there on up in old water for about a year or so before it got out. We had a pump. We had a pump at the house for washing. We had a pump out of the woods for the hogs and chickens. And we had a rain barrel for drinking. It'd come off the roof, you know. And she had a cheesecloth over top of that to keep, you know, to keep stuff falling. They picked the cheesecloth up, hit it like that. Twitters went to the bottom of the skaters.
Quite a different life.
Yeah. Everybody's happy.
That's wonderful.
Like I said, nobody had no money, but everybody's just poor and rich. But we were never hungry. Who knows?
What do you see for Shinkatig in the future?
Good Lord, it's changed so much the last 50 years. I don't know what's going to happen over this beach. That's the biggest problem, I think. If that goes, Shinkatig's going to be in bad shape. So I don't know what's going to happen with it.
Your grandchildren who are growing up here.
The what?
Your grandchildren who are now growing up here on Shinkatig.
Valerie and her brother.
And their children. What did you have when you were growing up here in the very simple way? What is there anything that you had growing up that you see that your great-grandchildren or grandchildren will not have that you would like them to be able to experience?
I'll tell you one thing they're going to have. When I was growing up, when Christmas come, if you didn't get a snow sleigh or ice skates, you had nothing. That's right. Now, they don't know what it is. Ice skates or snow sleigh. There's no one. I've seen ice skating around the island.
Very different now.
Ice. Sometimes it'd be week or two and channels froze solid. Nobody can move. In fact, one time, the ice took Queen Sand Bridge out, part of it. We had chickens in that time. We had barrel get fruit, feed from one side to the other side of the boat. Ice packed up against it, and it was one this new bridge, it was the other one, old bridge. It busted the middle right out of it.
Did you go to the mainland frequently growing up?
No, once in a while, if you got to Pocomoke, you were lucky.
And how did you get there?
Hitchhike. Unless you knew somebody going. Wasn't many cars. I grew up in a car here. My car growing up, no. We had a job at time. I'd walk. I walked. Of course, sure, I walked every night. Parked straight back every night. I didn't have no car then. You know, on this island, we call this up neck. There's four or five different sections, and they all were talk different. They had different accents. Of course, it's changed some now, but at that time, never. Depot talked different than we did. Eastern side did the same way, and down the marsh, all talked different. And you never see them people for a while because we never got time. They don't either. But we had one, two, three, six stores between there and town. And now there's none. There's two up here, two to the creek, two to what you call Mad Calf, where she comes from, Clark Street. There's two stores right there.
Did you do, since you are up the neck,
yeah.
Did you do things with the people from Deep Hole?
Yeah, we go play baseball with them. Yeah, yep. We walk across the woods. Yep. Yeah. We always enjoyed it summertime.
What a different life.
Yeah.
I have thoroughly enjoyed hearing your stories.
There was a ball field up there where Donald Lutter's son lives. There was a ball field there when I was growing up. I remember the men playing there. I didn't play there because I was a little small. But I remember the big apple tree there in that field. So I used to go there all the time and pick blackberries and up that way and then walk it. And I'd sell 5 cents a quart. maybe spending money. But you'll see the blackberries more up there. It's gone.
Spending money for what? What did you spend?
Slot machines. Now, what's Lockett movie? What's Lockett movie, yeah. And then you get kind of down there, right across the movie, with North Young in a place, you get three of those good bars for 10 cents. They would take care of you. And Saturday night, me and my, he's dead now, we used to get a, we had 10 cents, and he'd get a bag of peanuts for nickel in the show, and a High Rock Cola. That's a big, that's another nickel. And we shell them peanuts and drop it down to that drink and drink them like that. That's our sour and taste. Hey, here's my daughter.
Hi.
You know her, I'm sure.
We'll come back another time.
She's a fool's lot in the library.
I am.
That's one of the great grandsons.
I'm babysitting it. Mom and Dad have gone overnight, so I was there last night. Oh, boy.
What time she says she's coming home?
She's on her way, so I imagine she'll probably be 6:30. I don't know. So.
I'll call her, Mom. I'll eat supper. She wants to. I'll put some spaghetti there. I took that for them. I'm cook.
So the people you grew up with and played with here, are they still around?
No. I only got one, Newman Moret. But the one I played mostly with, Raymond Moret, he died. Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Call you want?
We can stay here and just hear story after story. If you have a good story, let us know.
I was wondering what, you did the chicken farming, you did the Shingateague Inn. What other kinds of work did you do in Shingateague over the years?
If they name it, I've done it.
Really?
In that what's called down the bay, got the boats around, got a week down the bay, getting oysters or clams, most times oysters. Say a week in a boat. Dredge oysters in the bay, clam, shucking oysters up there, and then I think fishing. They made me done a little bit of everything. Well, so I had to keep things going.
So you were a waterman.
Of everything, right. Yeah, I was pulling around the water a lot, that's true. Yeah. So, like I said, chicken was getting bad, and I had to get some extra money, so that's what I had to do. I worked for Dr. Shelley over there for a long time. Yeah. He gave me $1 an hour. And the people over there, he got hard doing tall work. Harold says, you can do that. He says, I'll fire him. You know, he's tall, played it. He said, you did it. I watched him do it.
Did you ever cook at the Shingateague Inn?
Because I did. I was, when we took it over. See, there wasn't no restaurant there when we first took it over there. All you could get there was a beer and a sandwich. When the old man had it. And you could only get beer certain times. If the edge of night went on, you couldn't disturb them. You couldn't get a beer. And you know, went out of three. Oh, he's a bird. He took me one day, we were sitting there Sunday, and these fishing boats were taking out tall parties, you know. He hated them. He had his color. I said, here they come, lock the door, lock them, hide men, hide, lock the door. Go bang on the door to go get in. They've missed.
You have many, many fun stories. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
It has been a pleasure.
I'll press the button. Okay.